morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. Please have a seat. So, I have a series of announcements, and I know Julie's coming up.
Good morning, everyone. Hi. For those of us who went to the event last night or the night before, we had such a good time. Thanks to Steve and John. But that's not what I came up here to talk about. It just made me realize how much I enjoy being with all of you. And so we're going to have more opportunity to do that. In January, February, we want to invite you to a series of dinners that are hosted by us. Some friendship dinners to get to know each other better, to welcome some of our new members who we might not know very well. So we're asking you to consider whether you'd like to host one of these dinners, and then we'll announce when they are, and you can sign up and go to your fellow members' homes for dinner. I'll have more in the announcements coming up, but just consider whether you'd like to host an event at your home, and then we'll give you an opportunity to sign up for that, and we'll get the dates set and get those out there so that we can all continue to get to know each other. Thanks.
And I just wanted to thank everyone who attended the dinners on Friday and Saturday. Thank you for your support of the music program here. And I really want to shout out to my volunteers. I had a huge group of people that helped put it all on. It was a real family event. We had a great time. And the music and entertainment was incredible. Food was pretty good, I heard. And if you didn't come, we have a sample of the dessert that you missed, and so make sure you're there next year. We want a full sellout. We want everyone in the family to be there and enjoy the evening, and thanks again for your support.
Was so much fun. And as I have spoken to people this morning and said hello, what I have found is that even those of us who were here on the Friday are still a little tired. It was that much fun. Finally, I have an announcement. Not this week, but next week. Kids Camino is officially being launched. We have a dedicated group of volunteers. I really think this is going to be a wonderful program. So just as a reminder, November 26th, we'll gather for the first time. It's a Tuesday, 6:30 to 8. Parents are welcome to stay if that makes you feel more comfortable. You're welcome to also leave the children with us. We'll take care of them, and you can breathe for 4 seconds. If you don't have children of school age, but you know neighbors or grandchildren or other people who might enjoy coming, please invite them. Bring them along. We are also looking for one more volunteer. If we can get one more person who will come once a month, then we will be able to rotate folks who can't commit to every week and make sure that everyone can come just once a month. So please consider that. I think that is it. One more? Thank you. This is the last week to order wreaths for your home. So do not leave today before you make sure you order one. Perfect. Let's take a moment before we begin to pray. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy, through the power of him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Taken. be with you.
Also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia.
Please be seated. I love Hannah. I really admire her. So I was so pleased that she came up in the readings this week. Hannah's struggles feel very real. She wants a child desperately. She is honest about her pain and her sorrow. She puts up with Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah's, cruel behavior towards her. She responds well when Eli assumes that she is drunk. Hannah takes all that has happened and she brings it before God. She responds to her pain, not with anger, but by trusting that God is with her and can hear her prayer. So it was a bit of a surprise to me this week as I read through the story, and something different, someone different, caught my attention. I'm ashamed to say I hadn't thought that much about Peninnah before. Peninnah has several children with Elkanah. Her future is more secure than Hannah's. She receives her fair share, and her children receive their fair share of the family's resources. But instead of being gracious, instead of empathizing with Hannah, she provokes. Peninnah takes her good fortune, her safety, and she chooses to add insult to injury. And that's wrong. We all know it's wrong. We can see it. It's pretty simple. Peninnah should be kind to Hannah. And as I read this text this week, I found myself wondering for the first time what it might have been like for Peninnah to live her life keenly aware that her husband preferred another, that she had done all she could do. She had fulfilled her responsibilities, she had children, and she found that nothing really changed. And so I wonder how much that hurt. I wonder what feeling unloved, feeling rejected, did to her. Because I know that seeing others preferred over ourselves can eat away at the best of us. And so I realized this week that believing that Hannah and Peninnah's story was simple, straightforward, that had led me to miss important details. It had led me to miss an opportunity to love someone who was in need of care. In our gospel this morning, Jesus warns the disciples that false teachers will arise, and that many who seek to follow Christ will be led astray. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of scary to me, as someone earnestly seeking to follow Christ. And I know that I have wondered from time to time, and perhaps you have, would I know if the teaching I was hearing was false? Would I be wise enough to question lessons and advice that don't actually make sense with the gospel? I hope so. Today, though, I'm feeling a little less nervous about that, because I think that maybe the lesson we have learned from Hannah and Peninnah can help us in these moments. I wonder if remembering that many situations are more complicated than they seem at first, and I wonder if that can help us discern the truth, to allow the Word of God to speak into our hearts, to hear and see where God is moving in the world. Because realizing that Peninnah, too, might have been in pain, and that her pain may be what caused her to be cruel, has changed that passage for me. Once I noticed that there was more to this passage, I developed some empathy, even though I can still affirm that her behavior was wrong. There are all kinds of problems in our world today. I will not list them out. It just gets a little too depressing if you do that. But whatever problem you are most aware of, most focused on, I expect that you encounter people who would address that problem very differently than you would, who may advocate for action that would actually make the situation worse. And it is possible, more than possible, that some of those folks might use the Bible, use the words of our faith to defend those positions. People might quote scripture and claim that it justifies actions that we otherwise know are wrong, who might use Christ's words as an excuse to treat Christ's children poorly. And when this happens, it is tempting, oh, so tempting, to dismiss them, to disregard what they are saying, to believe that they are just not smart enough to understand the situation, to decide they are cruel or foolish or deluded. But if that is the case, then it is hard to see a road forward. So what if it isn't as simple as people not being smart enough to understand or being cruel? What if there is more going on? If we can see the complexity in a situation, then we have a little more room to move. We can pause and breathe and wonder, why do they believe that? Why do they see things that way? What has brought them to this point? And you know, I really think that that is where the kingdom of God breaks in. Because now there is room for understanding, for empathy, for reconciliation. Now there is room for God to move and heal the wounds that divide us. And just like with Peninnah, this work does not require us to say that harmful behavior is acceptable, that cruelty can be explained. It just gives us a moment to breathe. We live in a complicated world. And today, I wonder if being able to recognize that complexity is in fact a gift from God. A gift that can help us see ourselves and others and God more clearly. A gift that will help us discern the actions that lead us closer to God and those that will lead us astray. Now, you may not agree, and that's okay. But I'd like to leave you with the image
of a kaleidoscope for your longer consideration. Kaleidoscopes, they're pretty simple. A tube, three mirrors, some colored beads, and some plastic to hold everything in place. And yet, when you hold a kaleidoscope up to the light, you rotate it around slowly, the complex beauty, the patterns, the lights are truly amazing. Show it to a child, and you will see a smile as big as their face. Complexity may seem hard at first, but it can bring about such incredible beauty. So we need not be afraid. Thanks be to God for that.
Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe it.
We wait on you, O Lord.
Our hope is in your mercy.
God of truth, your Son warned against false devotion, keep your church from being led astray by deviations and perversions of your truth. May we never confuse your house of prayer with your eternal presence. We wait on you, O Lord. God of truth, your Son warned of wars and rumors of wars. Keep the nations from the paths of death and destruction. Forgive our warring madness, which scars the face of the earth and its people. We wait on you, O Lord.
Our hope is in your mercy.
God of truth, your Son warned of earthquakes and famines. Keep us from making disasters worse by failures of compassion. Bless the work of relief agencies. We wait on you, O Lord. God of truth, your Son warned of calamities to come. Keep us from despair in our frailty. Deliver us in our hour of need. We pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Gavin, Catherine, Carolyn, Dawn and Nancy, William, Sherry, Mary, Philip and Nelta, Brian, Kate, Joan, Rebecca, Kevin, Lupe and family, Edward and Amy, Karen and Grace. We wait on you, O Lord. God of truth, your Son promised to rebuild the temple of his body. Restore to life all who have died. Bring us to share with you in your kingdom. We wait on you, O Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you. Thank you.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, in this Eucharist, we renew our baptismal covenant. Help us, through our offering this day, to renounce all things that draw us from your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You are the source of light and life for all your creation. You made us in your own image and call us to new life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new.
and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in one bread.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this sacrament we have shared the body and blood of Christ. May we who have been nourished by holy things bear witness to his light and share in his eternal priesthood. For he is Lord forever and ever. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power is working in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Before I give the dismissal, I did bribe everyone on Friday and Saturday that we would do the draw for the hockey tickets. So, if you showed up in church, you get to witness to the draw of the hockey tickets. And I've got a ticket here, and it is number 3505304.
Close enough.
Close enough. On the back is written Rob Vass. So Rob Vass won the hockey ticket. So congratulations to Rob. The other draws were done between the services, and check with the wardens. We have a number of winners for important things with that. So with that, I offer this dismissal. Our service of worship, fellowship, and friendship has come to its close. But our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.